Hey, it's Wally, and I just want to thank so many people, our potties, the people that listen to the radio station, for partnering together to make a difference in the lives of Ukrainian refugees. This thing over there is a mess. We're entering the fifth month of this, and it's just heartbreaking to see what people are going through and how they're having to live. But here's the upside. Together, we have sent more than 100,000 meals to Ukraine already. These meals are being distributed by 3,500 pastors who are risking their lives every day to minister to these families and get them the food that they need. So if you've given, thank you so much. Now, we're down to the last couple weeks of the month, and how cool would it be to up the ante here and send another 50,000 meals by the end of July? I know it sounds like a lot, but at 25 cents a meal, that's not a lot, and a little bit from each of us can go a long way. I know I've already done my part, because I'm never going to ask you to do something I won't do, but think about it. $100 sends 400 meals, and then if you roll that out and do $500 or $1,000 gift, imagine the impact that you're having. So if you want to get involved, you've seen all the hardship and the heartache and thought, man, I wish there was something I could do. This is something you can do. Just join us by texting Wally to 91999. That's Wally to 91999. And the cool part of this is, man, you get to be the answer to a mom's prayer as she's wondering how she's going to feed her children. Again, text the word Wally to 91999. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All those things we didn't get to during the course of the show today. Boy, I'll tell you, last night, because a lot of times we catch up on weekend plans, but last night I spent a really frustrating last part of my evening before the weekend. So I usually like to have fun and unwind, watch TV before coming in on Monday, and we had a email change that we had to do, and you have to go through all these steps and sign up for a million accounts. And at the same time of doing that, I was trying to get this other demo program working that I had paid for, and you only have a 14-day trial, and if you don't cancel it, then you get charged for it and stuff. And so I was like scrambling to try and do that and try to fix my email. And then we had dinner. And so we were going to dinner with friends, and I'm so like hyper focused on things. Like, I don't want to do anything till I solve those problems. And I had to like forget about everything and go to dinner and then try to not think about it while I was at dinner and not dwell on it and then come back home and work on it, which I actually did pretty well at. But I don't enjoy that. Like, I like to, if I'm in the middle of a problem, I don't want to stop till I solve that problem.
Well, then why did you start it if you knew you were going to have to go have dinner with these people?
Because I started it 2 hours earlier. Like, I thought I had plenty of time, and 2 hours of just nonstop technical frustration was driving me crazy. It should have been a 10-minute project. I had a lot of things this weekend that were like 10-minute projects. I hung a new lampshade over our sink for my wife. Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was unscrew the plastic piece, take it down, put the new one up, and re-screw it on. Well, as I screwed it on, it's really narrow, so my hands can just barely get up in there, and it went cross-threaded. Ooh. I couldn't get it off. No matter what I did, I couldn't even get it off to fix it. So I ended up having to break it, the socket itself, break it so I could get the thing off, then re-glue the socket to put it back up there. And once I did that and it threaded right, it took 5 seconds. Like, a five-second job became an hour and a half of my life yesterday. I spent all Sunday so unbelievably frustrated. I was happy to get to work today. I came in, I'm like, hey guys, let's go, let's do this thing. I just want to forget the weekend.
But had you not been able to fix that lamp or fix your email or fix your whatever program, then you would have come into work and been like...
I thought my email was fixed. That's why I came in such a good mood. And then I found out, oh, yeah, it's not. So no. I got to go get with the tech guy and be like, all right, here's my computer. Will you please just do this? This is crazy. But I fixed my other problem without tech support for the other thing. So that actually made me feel good. I do like solving things. And because, again, like my life is weird. I don't know if you guys are like this. I'm curious. When things aren't right in my life and there's things that are hanging out, like, I like to address problems. I like to deal with things because I like to get everything settled. And so, like, if my daughter isn't settled, my daughter's not in a good place, my life isn't right till that's fixed. And it's so weird because my happiness sometimes can be based on other people's lives, you know, and how they are, believe it or not. And I have to have everything settled to be in a decent place.
I get that.
Do you really? Okay, so I'm not crazy. Well, in this,
you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Good times. this was an interesting story. There's a watch being sold for $1.1 million. Okay,
I can't imagine. Just on your wrist.
Just a wristwatch. $1.1 million. It's historical. Whose watch do you think that might be that would fetch $1.1 million?
Well, we already know where George Washington's one is.
And that's a pocket watch. And I have that. This gives me hope for that watch and the price of that.
So maybe royalty? Queen Elizabeth?
Little dainty little watch for the queen.
No? But then again, if he's asking about it, then it's probably shocking. It's like not what you would expect.
Like a rock star?
Yeah. No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
No, he doesn't wear a wristwatch. He has people to tell time for him. He is beyond time and space. No, this is really weird. It was actually Adolf Hitler's watch.
Oh.
Yeah. Betty Rock just made a face. Gavin's like, this is one of those weird things. So they put it up for auction, and they were expecting it to get 2 to 4 million, and they were describing it as a relic of historic proportions, and they got $1 million for it. And so obviously there were people that were like, hey, like Jewish leaders were like, this has no historical value whatsoever, and it doesn't feel right. And the auction house president was so funny because he's like, he defended the auction and said the buyer was a European Jew. Oh, that makes it okay. Like, to me, hopefully, you know, you would hope that somebody that was selling this, and you know, maybe you salvage it by this. You sell it, you make all this money, and then you do it for, you know, donate it to something, you know, to fight anti-Semitism or to, you know, restore people that had their lives upended by, you know, the Holocaust and things like that. But no, just somebody just made a bunch of money off of it, which is weird. It featured initials AH and then a swastika on it. So, this is one of those cases where, yeah, you can sell it, but should you? You know, like, just feels really weird to profit off of that.
But, I mean, then are we making ourselves go into the being offended for somebody that might be offended kind of thing?
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, you said a Jew bought it, right?
Yeah, so European Jew is what they said.
He didn't have a problem with it, so then maybe we shouldn't be offended if he's not offended.
I wonder what his reason is for it, or are they going to display it somewhere, or what? Yeah, I don't know. And it's not one of those things where I'm horrified. We have to march and protest this, but it's just one of those things that made me go, oh, that's weird. You know, like, it again, you have the right to do tons of things. You can say anything you want, but should you? Always. And this is one that just feels slightly on the weird side.
But if you got $1 million for it,
made $1 million. Yeah, so good on them, I guess. Yeah, that's an odd one. What do you got, Lady Rock?
It's been 6 months since the whole world saw the slap that was heard around the world between Will Smith and Chris Rock. So it happened at the Oscars, and Chris Rock gets up there, says something bad, and just makes a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife. Will Smith didn't take it well, storms up on stage, slaps Chris Rock. Anyways, that was 6 months ago, and we haven't heard anything from Will since then about the whole debacle. But finally, Will Smith posted a 5-minute video answering a few questions we've been wondering. And the first is, do you think how you handled the situation was appropriate?
There's no part of me that thinks that's the optimal way to handle a feeling of disrespect or insults.
But I did it, and I regulated that situation, is what he's thinking. I'm curious if he's genuinely sorry, or he's sorry for the backlash, because I think he was in the mindset that he could get away with anything. And I'm like, are you genuinely sorry? Are you genuinely really feel that? Or is there a part of you that's like, look, I was defending my wife's honor. I don't care what you think. I'd do it again. Yeah, like, I'm real curious, because I'm just defiant enough in my own life that I could see myself going, yeah, no, I'm not gonna apologize for that. I did what I did, and I felt like it was justified in the moment, you know.
But he doesn't think so. He doesn't think it was right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I believe that. I believe that he's upset that they had the backlash. And again, that's a judgment, you know. So I'm just making that. I'd be curious to see if that was real.
The next question was the decision to slap Chris based on your wife Jada Pinkett Smith reaction to the joke? Because if you remember, Chris said the joke.
And he laughed. Like,
he laughed. Kind of but then Jada rolled her eyes. And then next thing we know, Will Smith is on stage.
You know, I made a choice on my own. Jada had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Again, I think in his head he's defending his wife's honor. I mean, there's a whole lot of other stories going on with him, though, which is weird, but yeah.
But it is weird that he laughed at first, but then maybe he just didn't get right then what the joke really was. The next question, have you reached out to Chris Rock?
I've reached out to Chris. The message that came back is that he's not ready to talk, and when he is, he will reach out. Chris, I apologize to you. My behavior was unacceptable, and I'm here whenever you're ready to talk.
I think Chris is going to milk this too, because remember when he first started doing the thing, he was doing stand-up like the next day, and everyone thought he's going to do a shtick on it and talk about it. So they all go to the show, sells out a bunch of shows, and he does nothing. And he hasn't done anything. And you're like, is it that he's writing a new act? And he's, because now if he accepts the apology, his whole like act is done, you know?
That's true.
So like, is he got to ride this out for a few more minutes? But it has been 6 months.
Well, I mean, like you said, Chris hasn't responded yet, but he may have indirectly at one of his comedy shows. He said in passing to the crowd, quote, everyone wants to play the victim. So him saying that to his to the crowd at his comedy club or his comedy show, they're thinking, was that an indirect hit at Will? And it could have been, because he might be thinking Will Smith is just wanting to be a victim and get his way back in. Who knows?
Yeah, because he did get slapped by the Academy, and like he can't win any awards or be at awards for a while. And so I think it was like 10 years or something like that. So it's a, for his career, it was kind of a big hit.
Yeah. And then lastly, what message would he like to give to the public?
I am deeply remorseful, and I'm trying to be remorseful without being ashamed of myself, right? I'm human. I made a mistake. So I promise you, I am deeply devoted and committed to putting light and love and joy into the world. And if you hang on, I promise we'll be able to be friends again.
That's kind of funny, because right there, I just get the sense that he's like, I cannot believe I'm having to do this. I cannot believe I have
again,
to do this.
Let's assume the best in him.
Right.
And let's assume that he is really sad that he did what he did, because now he realizes it was a bad decision.
Sure.
Then he did the right thing.
Yeah, he realizes it was a bad decision.
And
but
who knows what he did seem a little loose, like he was just ready to, you know, have a good time. And who knows if he was just living high on the hog and thinking everybody loves him and he could just walk up on stage and what he did. Or, you know, who knows what he was doing before the show. So he may not want those rumors to get around. We're just assuming a lot.
Oh, absolutely. This is all judgment and assumption. I 100% understand that and I get that. But like, anytime somebody puts something out, like, you know, when they mess up, then you have to make a call like, okay, do I believe that? Do I not believe that? You know? And on this one, I just genuinely feel like it's like, yeah, I have to do this. Dadgummit. You know, like I every part of me feels like he does not want to apologize for that stuff.
What if you had done something that you legitimately realized was wrong and you had to apologize?
For example, that argument I got in the other day on the air with Tattoo Judy, or not on the air, but off the air. And I handled myself in not well at all. And I did. I genuinely felt bad. Like, I went home and I was telling my wife and I told a few friends of mine. I'm like, I really, really messed up bad. But, like, she wasn't not culpable in this either, the way she came at me. And if I had to then make this giant public apology and throw myself on the sword and please will you all forgive me for my behavior and I've sinned against God and everyone, you know, it's like, all right, no, you hit Chris Rock, you tell him you're sorry. I had a problem with Judy, I tell Judy I'm sorry. That's enough, you know? But like if it was like, if the company was like, man, there's some blowback on this, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to make a video and apologize and take the hit on this, I'd be like, well, I'm done.
But what if people that had been sold out to the Wally show, they listen all the time, right, their potties and all this stuff, and they are saying, listen, I'm going to stop because I don't think what you did was Christ-like, blah, 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 right. blah, blah. And you start seeing all your followers go what down.
And what I would tell them is say, you're absolutely right. Like, I would own it. I'd be like, you're absolutely right. That looked nothing like Jesus. I 100% messed up. I did. And like, what more can I do? Like, I'm telling you, I messed up, you know? But to then flog yourself, kind of like what he's saying, he's like, in this case, I understand what he's saying. He's like, I'm remorseful, but I don't want to carry shame on this. Mm-hmm. I messed up, you know? Like, that should be enough, you know? Mm-hmm. And I probably just contradicted by everything I said about Will Smith a few minutes ago.
We got that. And there we are.
There's the hypocrisy. Let's leave Wally. Yeah, because he's a hypocrite. No. So, I mean, I get both sides of it. And I get, like, where I would feel if I was in his place of, like, guys, can we not just move on? This is ridiculous. Because I've had situations like that here before where I had a boss that, you know, called me and was like, article that I had written about Lauren Daigle being on Ellen and how everyone was freaking out about that. And I wrote this article and I had a boss that was like, we got to talk about this Ellen situation. I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, people are upset. I'm like, how many people called? You know, like, who's upset? How many emails did you get? Not really any. Well, who's upset then? Are my bosses upset? No. You know, it was just like, I'm getting down to it. And it was like one person, you know, at the station didn't like it. Like, well, fine. Like, who cares? Like, that's not enough to like have to go on and make a whole apology about something. And I'm not wrong in what I said either. That was a big one for me because I'm like, you're making an issue where it really can be handled one-on-one and be done, you know? And I think that that's what Chris and Will should be able to do. Handle it one-on-one, be done. You both good, you good, I'm good, you're good, we're done. But it doesn't work that way in real life, I guess. Well, let's do some amazing birthdays. Amazing birthdays.
We have no birthdays.
Well, that was easy.
But we do have a question from Jeremy. And Jeremy would like to know, what existing invention do you wish you had invented?
I would go with something like that simple that people use every day. So you're constantly making money off of it, you know, kind of thing. Like, cause like the one big one, like, you know, somebody, you know, invents, you know, the iPhone or whatever, you know, like, oh, that's pretty great. But like something that is going to be used by everybody for, you know, years and years and
like
years.
Like the
and
fingernail
years.
Clippers.
Yes. That's a good idea. I use mine and I love them. I have one
Post-its.
Pair. Exactly. Those little things that no one knows. The light that goes on in the fridge. That switch.
Lint rollers.
Yes. And exciting somebody stuff. Could use one of those.
Well, I can all the time. All the time.
Your cat is very, very hairy.
Where is it on my hat? Where is it?
Well, usually it's on you. Yeah. Oh. I think you're starting off a good Monday. Like everything's washed. And so you're probably pretty good. But yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, as the week goes on, I'm like, is she wearing a sweater today?
You're terrible. Telling a lie.
No, I'm not. I can just own it. My cat, like, I'll wear a shirt that I'm going to wear to work because I wear it to bed so I can get up faster. And my cat will lay on my chest and I'll get up in the morning like, oh my gosh, I'm making another cat here. Like, it's just all over me. So I've got to lint roll at 4 in the morning because I hate it. So I get it. Well, Gavin?
Oh.
He's like, oh, I'm done.
I mean, I think if I could, I would have invented a less than important sport, such as like pickleball.
Oh, yes.
Or something. Something that like true fans just adore, but they're like a very like small subsect of people. It's like, oh, cool, you invented football. It's like, oh, no, I invented shuffleboarding.
Well, speaking of shuffleboarding and obscure sports, you never went to the curling thing, did you?
No, I've not. Still not gone yet. No.
Yeah, because I looked into that, and you're right. It was expensive.
It's expensive.
It was like $300 for up to like 8 people or whatever or something like that.
Like, if you have a big party, maybe it's worth it.
Because you all split it.
Y'all love it, but for 4 people, 2 people, oof, no.
Yeah, because we were looking at going. Like, now, because I've always wanted to do curling. I just thought it'd be fun. I did it once in Orlando a long time ago. It was a radio promotion. But like, if you go during the week, it's cheaper and you could do it with 4 people, but it still ends up costing you probably at least $50 each. I mean, so you spend a lot of money for an hour and a half or whatever.
Yeah, it's like your highlight of the month activity kind of thing.
Yeah, but it would be fun to try.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, that's going to do it for your aftercast.
As always, thanks for being a potty.